Hey everyone, before the actual episode starts, I have a quick preamble to cover. Keep those 2v2 lockout bingo tournament team name suggestions coming in for me and Sid. We like some of the ideas that have come through so far, but we're still trying to decide on one, so keep them coming. And furthermore, I forget to mention it during the episode, but I'm still making progress on the script for the Pianta 6 World Record History video. I'm probably 4/5 of the way done by now, so hopefully by next weekend I will have it done and ready to record voiceovers for. So with that info out of the way, please enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the sundry and tropical paradise of Isle Delfino. Yeah?
That's our intro that we usually do, right?
That's how we intro things. That's how we introed one commentary gig. We did a commentary gig one time. Anyway, this is episode 11, according to Trey,
We do our commentary gigs, so we get our commentary groupies, right?
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Yep, that's how we make a living, folks.
And then our commentary groupies complain that we use the R word.
That's a rough one.
Yeah, it's hard. But we don't do it anymore. Anyway, I'm Sid. This is Trey.
I'm Trey.
And we're here. This is the week of the Game Awards, or the week after.
Yeah, when this goes up, it'll be the week after. But we actually just watched those 2 days ago.
And it was so fun to watch them.
Yeah.
Magic the Gathering.
There were a couple Magic the Gathering advertisements.
Magic the Gathering.
You know what? Just the sheer quantity of advertisements has transformed me into a Magic the Gathering player, I think.
Yeah.
That's my new calling.
I'm glad that Sekiro won Game of the Year. That's kind of it.
Me too. You know, I've never played Sekiro, but everyone that I've heard who has played it has enjoyed it. So I'm like, you know what? That's a fair winner right there. Solid winner.
It looks fun. It looks like a fun game.
Isn't it like Dark Souls except more Japanese themed or something?
Yeah, it's like more Japanese than Dark Souls.
A little more Japanese than Dark Souls.
Yeah, less Japanese than Dark Souls.
I'd say more Japanese than Dark Souls.
Aww. Okay.
But yeah, I want to play that game at some point as well. But first, I want to play the original Dark Souls games before I get to those, I feel like. But even those, I haven't gotten around to because I'm lazy. So
that's a lot of stuff. That's
a lot of games out there. A lot of hard games like Dark Souls out there.
Are you going to start with Demon Souls?
Is that like the OG one?
Yeah, that was before Dark Souls was cool.
Oh, that's right. Maybe I should start with that.
Yeah, I've never played it. I played Dark Souls 1 and Bloodborne. That's kind of it.
But Dark Souls as a series is unrelated to Demon Souls, right?
No.
Oh, it's not related. It is related to it?
No. I was saying no, and then I was finishing a sentence. No, it is not related.
Okay, so I can start with Dark Souls and not miss anything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can start with Dark Souls 3 and not care.
Oh shit! All right.
It's not really a story driven. There's lore, you know, but you kind of have to like figure it out. I don't remember anything about Dark Souls.
I'm assuming Dark Souls has the lore that Cephalon claims every video game these days has. You know, you're a soldier. It's 1,000 years ago. You kill stuff. You have a sword, and that's the story.
That's the pitch meeting. That's the pitch meeting for every new game. It's like, oh, it's 1,000 years ago. You're a soldier. What was the next part?
You have a sword, probably.
You have a weapon.
Of some sort. Probably a sword, but maybe an axe.
It's crazy.
Maybe a lance. Maybe it's Fire Emblem. I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot of games like that. There were actually a couple new, you know, world premieres of games following that exact same suit, you know?
Yeah. Like, what is it? Ghost of Tsushima, that one.
And what was that one that we were memeing about? Oh, we're going to speedrun that. What was it called?
Godfall. It's because, reinventing combat.
Yeah, you would think, based on the trailer, oh, you know, it's the 1,000 years ago guy with a weapon story again. But no, they're reinventing combat.
Yeah.
For the thousandth time.
I want to know how they're reinventing combat. That sounds like the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That tagline has stuck with us so well that we are curious enough to actually speedrun it now.
There's like three things that I remember from the Game Awards. That, Magic the Gathering, Sekiro 1, and then Luigi's Mansion 1 Best Family Game, which is great.
And Elon Musk stood up for some reason. And that was fun.
They just wanted to show he was there, and he was just like, am I supposed to do something?
Have I released the new Cybertruck now? Or what is this?
Is this my time? Am I supposed to go on stage? What was the other thing? You made the refrigerator Xbox
Yeah, Series so X joke first. When they first showed the new Xbox, literally second one, frame one, I made the refrigerator joke. Go on Twitter, see a million refrigerator jokes. Let it be known, everybody I was just, the OG of that. I just never posted it anywhere.
Everybody just stole your joke.
Well, actually, okay, I take that back. I say I'm the OG. I'm sure someone working at Microsoft was like, this thing looks like a fucking fridge. This is stupid. That was the original person.
Yeah, the Xbox guy said that.
The Xbox guy said it, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that comes
really,
out.
Are we really selling this thing? Guy. It looks kind of like a fridge. I don't know about this.
It's like, whoa, he made the joke.
That was the original joke maker. You know what? I'll take some credit, though. Screw it.
I enjoyed watching it. People after the Game Awards were just like, well, that was a waste of time. I'm like, I don't know. I just watch it every year.
You know what? And it was worth it for me for one reason. You know, other than the Luigi's Mansion 3 winning Best Family Game.
Horrible.
I am just overjoyed that Fire Emblem Three Houses won an award. It won Best Strategy Game, and I would definitely say it deserves it. It was a really solid game. Got me into the series, so there you go.
It was People's Choice Award, too, right? It was the
People's
Choice
Game. Yeah, like by a resounding 44% or so, like the people chose it. What category was that? Just
it was just People's Choice.
People's Choice? What does that mean?
They voted for every... So Pyro told me about it. Apparently, if you went on the Game Awards website and voted for every single category, you could choose the like People's Choice Game.
Oh.
So that's what it was.
And considering, I've sort of realized how raving and rabid the FE community can be. So that kind of makes sense. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well deserved. It's actually pretty sick how Fire Emblem, for the past few years, as far as I know, has kind of been in the shadows of all the other mainstream games. Not really heavily respected either. But I would say Three Houses has single-handedly pushed them much further into mainstream light. And it's actually a respected series again, I'd say.
Yay.
And I'm into it now. So that's what's really important.
The Game Awards. I had something to say. I don't remember. Okay, now I remember. I feel like it's really weird how many like esport players awards they have. Like they have Team of the Year, and then they have like People's Choice Gamer of the Year.
Wait,
was
there more than those two?
There were three. There was the People's Choice one. There was the actual one. Team. Yeah. And then the actual one, and I'm just like, I don't know any, like, Booga one.
And the winner is, oh yeah, Steph Curry announced it.
Yeah. What was his Booga. Name? Booga or Booga?
Booga.
Booga. Booga, not Booga.
Like, I don't even know. However Booger. Steph pronounced it.
Booger one.
Booger, let's go.
Yeah, let's go, Fortnite.
Wait, is it Fortnite?
Isn't he the guy that won the $3 million for Fortnite?
I don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, I think that was him.
Do I look and, like I would know that?
No, exactly. Nobody knows who these people are. It's weird. But I don't know. I just feel like it's weird to award at the Game Awards specific people who play games. I know we're in that culture now. Like, we're going into the esports area, but I don't know. It's just weird.
Just wait. Next year, they're going to have an award for best speedrunner.
Yeah.
It's going go to go to me.
It'll be Grand Pooh Bear.
Yeah, probably. Either Grand Pooh Bear, Trihex, the Mexican runner, yeah. Or someone else.
Zero. For no reason. Even though he doesn't speed or anything. Because Grand Pooh Bear was referenced in, what was it, the Film Theorists episode. Do you know about this?
I know that I watched a video about Jeopardy from the Game Theorist. Yes. And they, yep, for a split second, referenced Grand Pooh Bear. So I'm assuming it's relevant to that.
It was... they referenced Grand Pooh Bear as the Ken Jennings of speedrunning, yeah, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's just like the best of all time. And I'm just sitting there going like, all right.
I mean, who can deny it? He is the best of all time.
Like, I was just sitting there going like, who, why? All right, I guess. I don't care.
Going purely by Twitch stats, I would agree.
Who would be the speedrunner? Like the best speedrunner ever? I don't know.
Well, Bouncy Boy said that Cheese is the best RTA runner of all time.
Cheese is good. Cheese is a good choice.
You know, Cheese has proven himself, obviously, in 64, but he also had a really solid Ocarina of Time at one point. And those are like the top two games, so.
Is he the Ken Jennings of speedrunning?
He's the Ken Jennings of RTA speedrunning.
Is some Japanese guy the Ken Jennings of non-RTA? What? So, All right, never mind. I don't know. I don't know what this questioning we went down. Why isn't my whole thought process is why wasn't Grand Poobear given an award for speedrunning at the Game Awards? You know?
And then I'm saying that next year they'll actually have an award for that and he'll win. And that'll answer your question right there.
Yeah, and Cheese will also be nominated, so they'll squash it. Just like, no, Cheese lost.
That'll prove it right there, single-handedly.
Yeah, that'll be the end of it. So we're starting the meme of we're going to run Godfall co-op.
This is like 100 times the meme of Brotherhood, because we're actually doing that.
Whatever Godfall is, we don't really know what Godfall is. It seems like they have really, I don't know, they have like lion mask armor. I don't know.
Honestly, I don't even remember the game. I just remember the thing in Reinvent Combat.
They were wearing very shiny outfits. That's what I remember. And they're reinventing combat.
That's all you got to know.
And there was another game that was putting action back in action RPG.
Oh yeah, what was that?
I don't remember. Was it the game for Cephalon when he was 7?
Oh yeah, the game for 7-year-old Cephalon, as Quan put it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. There was also that like that Gears of War strategy game.
Ah.
It's kind of like XCOM, is that what it's kind of like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gears XCOM. But to be fair, they don't call it Gears of War anymore. They just call it Gears.
Right. Gears 5. And I was honestly just shocked that there were female characters in it. Back when I remember playing Gears of War 2, all I remember was a bunch of beefy dudes hiding behind stuff, but
beefy dudes hiding behind stuff. I remember female characters. They were
I
around.
Don't for some reason. I feel like I'd remember that, but yeah.
I never really played a lot of them. I think I played like a little bit of 1 and seen clips of 3 and stuff, but I think there were women around.
I actually really enjoyed the campaign in Gears of War 2, except the final boss was super lame. And yeah. Horde mode's also pretty fun as well. I didn't do a whole lot of it, but Horde's pretty fun.
Dude, Horde mode got huge.
Yeah. You mean like recently or in its peak?
No, just when it was
yeah,
released.
Like, yeah, around the time that it was big.
I think they dropped Gears of War for Gears because GOW is God of War.
Oh, that could be. That makes a lot of sense.
And like when Gears of War was big, I realized that. It was just like there's God of War and Gears of War. And it's very confusing.
Yeah, that
so
could be a problem.
Maybe that's a more... they dropped it definitely for 5 and they dropped it for this. So I don't know if it's just like... We're sick of... Because Gears of War is a sick title. Gears, not as good, but...
But, I mean, they justify it with... It. When you're casually talking about it, you'll just say, like, oh, I played Gears 3. So, they just say, you know what? Just cut out the middleman. We'll just call it Gears. Screw it.
It's gross. I don't like it.
And they had to fight between either Gears of War or God of War, and they can't call it just God. So, I'm playing God 3, you guys.
No, when they rebooted the series, they can't call it just God.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
That'd be a little distasteful.
There's a new game, was it IGN that posted it? I look at Twitter sometimes and IGN posts trailers for new games and was it Jesus? Is it just a new Jesus game?
Yeah, it was like that game based on the Bible or something.
Yeah.
And there was some really funny, top tier funny man saying like, spoilers, he dies in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, comedy alert.
So there's a new game about Jesus coming out. He has like a magic meter in the corner. I don't know if it's the exact same game as the Bible game. I know that game is also in development, but he had a magic meter in the bottom right corner, and he can only perform miracles a certain amount of times. So like he walks up to a random guy with baskets and
yeah,
nothing
I know
in
he
them,
like makes
then,
all the fish and the bread.
Yeah, but his magic meter goes down.
Is that like an indie game or an actual AAA game?
It's an indie game.
I was gonna say.
It looks pretty amazing. Yeah, just in general.
Wow, I can't wait.
So that those are our thoughts on the Game Awards. Game Awards happened. A lot of advertisements, yep. a lot of world premieres.
A lot of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, a lot of Magic the Gathering.
A lot of Jeff Keighley, we always love.
A lot of Control.
And once again, Reggie always gives the best pre-award speech out of anyone, even though he's not part of Nintendo anymore.
He stole Shigeru Miyamoto's story again.
What do you mean?
He just talked about Shigeru Miyamoto in the caves of Japan.
Oh yeah,
developing Zelda. How can you go wrong just repeating that story? Cheating.
I mean, it's not just the story itself. He's just a phenomenal public speaker as well. So that also
helps. Some new. See, I was expecting him to like not go back to the Nintendo well, but he went right back to the Nintendo well.
It's safe.
Like,
immediately. It works, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't work for Nintendo anymore.
He doesn't even work there, so he's just, you know, he'll just dig up whatever he can use. Be like, they'll love this. And there you go.
He needs a new
Reggie,
story.
So it worked.
He needs a story about Reggie Fils-Aimé in the caves of whatever state he grew up in. You know?
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe next time we'll hear about that.
Yeah, he can tell the story of him figuring out how to develop Zelda at a young age in the caves of whatever state.
Yeah, Reggie and, was part of that, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying he made Zelda.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
just make his own story. Make it up. Yeah. I don't care.
I heard that Reggie used to work for some pizza company. I forget which one. And he actually popularized some new... Actually, I have no idea. I just know he worked for some pizza place as like a higher up and did something epic. I don't know much beyond that.
I have a suggestion. Maybe he reinvented pizza.
Oh, he reinvented crust or something.
He was the godfall of pizza company guys.
There you go. At his next speech, he talks about growing up in a cave in his state, reinventing pizza.
Reinventing pizza. And then he came out of the cave and everybody went, oh my God, this is amazing pizza. We have pizza. We don't know how you discovered pizza, but also your pizza is better than the pizza that was made outside of the cave.
And then somehow making that pizza led him to becoming the head of Nintendo America.
It's a good story.
I would like to hear that story told by the man himself.
He needs a new story. That's my whole thing. Sure, he's a great public speaker and everybody sucks his dick all the time. He needs to not go to the well in Nintendo anymore. He doesn't work there. It's over.
You know what? I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah. I was expecting him to say something else. Like, sure, have him on again. Like, he's not in anything regarding gaming anymore. He's retired, blah, blah, blah.
But no, didn't...
But he went right back to it.
He was announcing the best indie game studio? Is that what it was?
I think it was just indie game.
Or best indie game,
Untitled Goose Game was nominated. It wasn't...
And so in his speech, did he like tie in like how indie game developers are actually the most important in the industry because they ultimately become part of like the bigger picture?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying his speech didn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. I was just trying to remember what it was.
Mm-hmm. So that was the Game Awards. That's our impression of it. Meh. But
yeah, better than I thought. Getting Three Houses won something. That's all I got.
I'm not a hater. There are a lot of people online that are just haters.
Yeah,
just
like, I didn't hate it.
What?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I sat through it. I'm committing. I sat through it. And a lot of people at the end of it were tweeting out being like, oh, bullshit, we didn't get an Nintendo announcement or anything. Because I was saying Metroid Prime 4 throughout the entire thing. It's like, oh, Metroid Prime 4.
Like world premiere. This is Metroid Prime 4, guys. Oh, they didn't say Switch. Never mind.
or it didn't even say Switch. It's just like, it's still Metroid Prime 4. It's a bait.
Yeah, they just really want to like surprise us and not even say Switch.
But yeah, so they didn't announce a new Smash character. A lot of people thought they were going to do that. Whatever.
I don't really care about new Smash characters anymore. There's just so many. It's like, it's oversaturated
Crash.
Now.
People want Crash Bandicoot so that they can play him for 3 seconds and then not play it anymore.
New Smash characters is such an oversaturated thing. It's like not special anymore to me personally.
Yeah.
So many characters, man.
I'll probably end up buying whoever they add and then play it for... Because that's what I did with Terry. I played him for, a half an hour and then I was just like, okay, cool. I guess I was fine.
It's kind of like adding Link to Mario Maker. They add it, you mess around with it for a few weeks and you're like, okay, that was cool. By the way, why isn't the new Ninji speedrun up yet?
I don't know. So if you listen to last week, episode 10, I talked about the Ninji speedruns and how I thought they were going to update it every week. It seems like they want to go with the route, and I kind of understand it, but I also think it's stupid. They want to go with, here's a week you can grind the speedrun, and then you have an allotted amount of time with your celebration, like, reward stars that you get for how long you grinded it. So I got 3 gold stars. Because everybody that got, within 0.7 of the world record got a world, got a gold star thing, which was really easy to get. So I got the gold stars. So gold stars kind of are meaningless. But it seems like they just want you to have your celebratory gold stars to surround you for some amount of time. At this point, there's no new Ninja speedrun up. I think that next Wednesday will be the new Ninja speedrun now. So it'll be like a twice a month thing where it's just like, oh, here's a week of speedrun and then your week of celebration and then the week of speedrun and then your week of showing off that you got the gold stars. So I think it's dumb, but it makes sense for Nintendo, because when I thought they were going to do a weekly update of a new course, I was like, no way. But
yeah, that's way too much work for Nintendo.
Yeah, that's way too much work for Nintendo. And deep down, I thought that they were going to do it. But,
well,
you know what?
I thought that's what they announced they would do, but I guess I misinterpreted it.
No, I definitely misinterpreted it. They didn't announce shit.
Or maybe I just got the info from you. I have no idea.
They didn't announce anything about weekly updates or anything like that. They just went, oh, you have a week to speedrun. And nobody knows past that. So no new Ninja speedrun as of yet.
But hey, now you can bask in the glory of your amazing time you got.
Yeah, even though I was like 268th, even though I know that specifically.
Out of how many? 400,000 people, right?
420,000
people?
Yeah.
Not bad.
I spent more time than the average, but I got gold stars. It really takes nothing to get gold stars in it. I think top probably, I don't know, 2,500 got gold stars, probably.
Yeah. I didn't get gold stars because I didn't even attempt it. I'm a loser.
See, you're cool in the Mario Maker community now if you don't have any stars, or if you have silver stars. Like, nobody has silver stars. If you have bronze stars, it's just like you're the peak of coolness. But other than that, the gold stars are just losers.
These guys wasted their time on this speedrun. They're never going to update again. Haha.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sure
they
will.
You can still grind it. You can still play it. Nobody cares. But you can still play it.
Oh, boy.
I wonder if the world record holder for the first Ninja speedrun, what is it, rolling downhill? What, I don't remember what it was called.
What was the time you ultimately got?
I think it ended up being barely 0.7, so 19.797. I think that's what it was.
Wow, that's more than I thought they'd cut. Holy crap.
I ended up getting a 19.844, so it's whatever. So I suck because I'm 3 frames off. But I just wonder if he's still working on it. no new Ninja speedrun. Nobody cares. He's just like, I'm gonna grind this to a pulp. I wonder if he's out there somewhere. Maybe the top 10 are working.
I wonder
on
if
it.
You
Who
can
knows?
Even possibly save any more time on that.
Because they thought it was frame perfect earlier on, and it's just like, nope. I cut 0.0.
Well, to be fair, it could be frame perfect, but there's still milliseconds to save within that frame. Maybe.
I guess you're right, Trey.
Because a frame is 16 milliseconds, roughly. So, I don't know.
You're a nerd.
I'm a nerd, but I'm also right. So, fuck you.
So, Mario Maker 2 update, no new Ninja level. What we're going to do this week, Trey is going to have his own story. He's going to talk about Fire Emblem at some point. But first, right? We're going to do our own speedrun awards.
Yay.
That we put some prep into. I actually thought about it a little bit, but
Sid
not
did a lot more prep
much.
Than I did. I'm kind of just going to go off him.
And a lot more prep being Trey was just like, hey, do you want a guest today? And I was just like, well, we didn't really orchestrate anything. So no, being lazy today.
That's something we should mention. So I think last episode we mentioned, or not even last episode, a couple episodes ago, we were like, okay, we're getting a rhythm here. We're going to alternate guest every other week, you know, guest, no guest. Keep doing that pattern, and we're already throwing that out of the room. we're not doing that.
We'll get guests when we next week. We'll probably end up getting a guest. We have a group of friends that speedrun. So
we've decided that instead of sticking to a strict alternating schedule, we'll just get guests on when we feel like it. That's probably better.
It does feel really good to just kind of sit here and talk about, because I today was a very busy day. And now I'm taking care of a dog, and I'm just kind of like relaxing.
And today was a very non-busy day for me, where I didn't do much. So same goes for me.
Not having to interview anybody at this point is kind of nice. So yeah. So yeah, we're going to do our speedrun awards that I was going to do for next week, but you know what? We don't have a guest today, so we're doing it now. We're doing it live.
This is the best time to do it. I mean, it's right after the Game Awards, so screw it.
And the speedrun awards, I'm warning you before we get into it, they're mostly Zelda.
Gee. And well, that's probably because there's been so many Zelda developments over the year.
Yes. And we're going to start with the award for coolest new skip.
Ooh.
Or like glitch. Skip or glitch. Coolest new skip or glitch.
Let's hear those nominees.
All right. The Wind Waker, the original barrier skip.
Ooh.
The one that everybody grinded for.
The one that had the huge what's it called? Incentive to get it? That's not the word. Bounty.
Did it have a bounty?
There was a big bounty on it, but I think it expired, so rip that.
Aw, that's sad.
Oh well.
Alright. So I'm just gonna run through the nominees.
Just run through them, yeah.
So the Wind Waker, barrier skip. Skyward Sword, Song of the Hero skip. Majora's Mask, debug menu. Majora's Mask, Moon Warp. And then Ocarina of Time, Zelda's Letter SRM.
And that one I didn't even hear about until today, so.
The Ocarina of Time, I feel like the Zelda's Letter SRM, you know what? Too late in the cycle to be given the award, IMO.
Yeah, too much recency bias. We can't go with it.
Also, it's not really implemented at all yet. So it's kind of interesting. So the whole thing about Zelda's Letter SRM, I don't know what SRM stands for. I tried to look it up. I looked for a speedrun wiki. The storage resource management is what SRM stands for in common phrasing, but I don't know exactly.
That sounds kind of right. To me. I don't know.
Yeah. So the whole thing about this is essentially as Child Link, you can go into Lost Woods into the Deku Tree, set it up through the Deku Tree, this glitch, and then using the small bit of water at the bottom of Deku Tree, you can essentially put anything into your inventory by looking in specific directions and clipping out of bounds with the... It's much more complicated than I'm saying, because I don't actually quite understand it.
Is it based on the angle you face? You get a certain item?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's an interesting glitch. I don't know how to set it up. I don't know how it works. But
I gotta look into that more.
There are definitely people that know how it works, but it's not nominated, so I don't
just wait. Tomorrow, you know, after we record this, it's gonna lead to a 10-minute 80% time.
So it's basically an honorary nominee. It can't win. It's not really implemented into any runs, so you know what? You can't win. Also, I don't know how to explain
it. I'm still
going to
vote for it.
Too bad I've already chosen the winner.
Okay.
All right.
This is rigged.
The Song of the Hero skip is... It made the Skyward Sword run...
A reasonable length.
What? A reasonable length.
As opposed to like 5 hours. More like 2.5 hours.
Yeah. The tricks that I can really speak to are the Wind Waker barrier skip, the Majora's Mask debug menu, and Moon Warp.
Yeah, let me give you a quick spiel on how crazy barrier skip is. So barrier skip, you know, back when Narcissa Wright was the big speedrunner of the century, you know, going ham on Wind Waker, she made a video about barrier skip and why it's impossible and went over all these methods of why it doesn't work and why it's never going to be found. And it seemed pretty clear it wasn't going to be found because it's just such a huge barrier with, you know, the damage part and the invisible part that you can't go through. Or you can go through the damage part with pulling the Wind Waker on the same frame you touch it, but then like the next wall you can't go through. Either way, they pretty much ruled out any possibility of it happening until earlier this year when they realized they could just unload it by shooting enough arrows or blank arrows and whatnot, and then eventually you can just walk through it. I suppose.
Something about a grappling hook. See, I did watch when barrier skip was found. I watched gymnast do it multiple times and fail it and then have to do it all again in the same run with Phoenix and Trey in the call. That was very fun.
Yeah, and then I saw Demon 9 do it when they understood a little bit better.
So there's something about grappling hook. We do not run Zelda games. We watch them and go like,
actually,
oh, that
no,
was cool.
No. I do run Four Swords Adventures. That's basically Zelda.
Okay, Trey runs a Zelda game a few years ago.
But hey, it has the same art style as Wind Waker, so it's kind of the same. Yeah.
So you basically understand Barrier Skib. So you have the floor.
That's why I already explained it. That's all I know. There you go.
Oh, you shoot a bunch of arrows and you and you do the grappling hook stuff. There's stuff with grappling hook. Yeah. Anyway, so they determined that you can't go through it, and they went, oh, you know what? Let's just remove it. So by unloading the barrier and making it and calling it Barrier Skip, HD has a cooler Barrier Skip. So for
HD's
this award,
just a cooler speed run, sadly.
Sadly.
Because I grew up with SD. We all did.
So the fact that the high definition version of Wind Waker has a cooler looking Barrier Skip, and the fact that they just deload it or unload it and just kind of walk through it, it's removed from this list. It doesn't win.
It's pretty lame, but, you know, just the fact that they can do it is pretty dope.
This is coolest new skip, not one they've been looking for forever that they eventually found this year.
Yeah, not the most groundbreaking skip. It's purely from a cool standpoint.
Yeah.
Apparently. I just realized that right now. So, yeah, doesn't win.
Coolest new skip.
Coolest new skip.
And if we're looking at Majora's Mask debug menu,
that is pretty freaking cool.
I was actually going to say the opposite. It's really uncool.
I agree.
The setup is lame as shit. And then you have to use the Wii U in order to use it.
Ooh, it's so good. Yeah.
It's game breaking. Sure, I'll give you that. But it doesn't win the coolest new skip award. Thank you very much.
You play a song 64 times or something, and you give yourself stuff, and then you win. And it's on Wii U.
Yeah, the song is soaring 64 times. Please, Trey, you know this.
I knew that. I didn't want to like sell it on YouTube much. I'd be like a nerd for knowing too much.
Yeah, you'd be a nerd.
I mean, I am a nerd.
So the next nominee... So the two nominees remaining are Skyward Sword Song of the Hero Skip and Majora's Mask Moon Warp. And the next one... So the winner is... Majora's Mask Moon Warp.
Whoa, the coolest I didn't see skip. That coming.
It is definitely the coolest of all of them.
Yeah, when you watch the setup, you have no idea what's going on. He like picks up an invisible pot, puts it somewhere, gets caught by a guard, and then boom, you're on the moon.
But this award being given out, I don't know much about the Skyward Sword run, the new skip. And that's all I can really say about it.
I mentioned this before about the stuff right before they found that big skip. Gymnast had a bunch of videos explaining how they were so close to breaking the game, but didn't quite do it. And then I guess they eventually did it. But again, I don't really know what it is. I just know it has to do with back in time. Is that what they call it when they go play on the title screen?
Yes.
They use a lot of back in time shenanigans. And then, yeah. But, you know, we've seen back in time a million times. Moon Warp is where it's at.
Moon Warp is dope looking, even though Majora's Mask is pretty much almost dead.
It's so dope that the actual speedrun portion of the run is about 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it's such. They should do race file.
It's time to do race file, y'all.
It's time, guys. Come on, let's be progressive.
Open your eyes. It's 2020.
Open your eyes.
In the year 2020, we're all doing race file.
In the spirit of Skyward Sword being knocked down from what sub 5 or sub 4, whatever the record was,
it was like a high 4.
It was a high 4.
Yeah.
So now it's just over 2 or just below 2, something like that.
I think it's just over 2.
In the spirit of that game and how much it's improved, we're going to go into the next category, most improved speedrun. And the nominees are Skyward Sword. And that's it. It wins.
Whoa.
It's the most improved. Like, there's no... You can't go up against Skyward Sword.
Wait, hold on a second. Are you sure about that? I seem to recall a certain Hideo Kojima masterpiece getting cut by over 3 hours.
Oh, Death Stranding. No, year before this year.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm getting
most
ahead of myself.
From the beginning of the year, the Hideo Kojima classic Death Stranding didn't even have a speed run. You know, it has to have a speed run at the beginning.
Yeah, Skyward Sword has been established for years, and the fact that it randomly got cut in half, it wins.
So, like, other games would be like Odyssey improved by what, 2 minutes?
Woohoo. Mario Sunshine got improved by almost 30 seconds.
Hey, it got improved for the first time.
In two years. That's pretty cool.
So that's cool, I guess.
That honestly almost beats Skyward Sword in and of itself.
All right, so the nominees are Skyward Sword and Sunshine.
And Skyward Sword wins.
Yeah, Skyward Sword wins by 2 hours.
Good job, Skyward Sword.
Let's go Skyward Sword.
Let's go bomb bowling.
All right. So the next, I only have a few awards here. I have two more awards to give out. The best new speedrun. So this is a game that came out this year and the best speedrun for that game.
And we are clearly experts on this.
Yes.
That's why we have this category.
Next year we will be experts on this. I will put blood, sweat, and tears into this.
You will force me to be an expert.
I was planning on putting a lot of effort into this. But you know what? I thought we were just going to have like Reed on or something like that today.
Wait, don't just say just Reed. You mean the legendary Reed?
Yeah, Reed.
Reed did it.
Yeah,
on Twitch. My favorite streamer.
That guy. I thought we were just going to have that, so I would have put more prep into it. But you know what? We have some prep. Best new speedrun.
You had some prep. I just sit here.
Luigi's Mansion 3. Death Stranding. Sekiro. Control. And Mario Maker 2. So, I don't know if Control has a speedrun. I just put it in here because you know what? You can't have...
I've never even heard of Control until the Game Awards happened and it won some shit, so just put it on there.
You can't have a speedrun of the year award with the Game Awards being so heavily Control favored without having it on one category, you know?
So we threw it on there, but it's not going to win.
So I don't know what could... I haven't seen a lot of it. I'm sure it's great. It's not... It doesn't win this.
That's a damn shame.
Mario Maker 2. Do we consider Mario Maker 2 the single player story? Is the speedrun, right?
If that's the speedrun, then that's a no from me, dog.
So that loses.
And then, okay, so Luigi's Mansion 3, it won the best family game. It has that going for it.
It does. It definitely won that.
However, yeah. I saw a tweet the other day. I forget who tweeted it, but apparently there's aspects of the game depending on, like...
Oh, I saw that.
I think it's determined by, like turning the game on. It, like, determines some random value.
It's the seed when you start a game.
So the seed when you start a game, thank you. It changes the physics of Luigi or something.
Yep.
Like, apparently, runners have been complaining about, like, oh, sometimes this clip is super free. Other times I can't get it at all. And it turns out that the physics of, is it of Luigi? I want to say.
I don't quite see the tweet itself said just like the physics for a specific trick. It didn't say anything specific at all. Just like for this one trick, it makes it harder.
So RNG tricks based on the seed of when you turn the game on. That sounds like a winner in my book. Yeah.
So you know what? We'll leave it there because it sounds like a winner in your book.
It's a runner up at least.
It's there. All right. Death Stranding. It went from 8 hours to 5 hours to, you know what? What could it become?
So much potential in this classic masterpiece game that Sid loves to this day.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. You know what? I'm just going to recuse it. I'm going to remove it from the list. You know what? It has potential. Maybe, probably not. But you know what? It's not the best new speed game.
But it might at some point prove to be the best new speed game. Although, and, I guess it won't be new anymore because it'll be next year. But it'll be a good speed game.
Yeah, maybe it'll be most improved.
There you go. It could be a possible thing.
Or maybe there'll be a really cool trick found. You know? Or I'll make new awards that specifically will award Death Stranding.
We'll make awards specifically tailored so that something wins. Like, that one award they had for Fortnite, it's like, okay, they made it so that Fortnite wins.
Best, what?
I don't even remember what it was. It was like...
It was just consistent.
Or game. It was like best continuation game or something.
Best continuous game. Like that continuous kind of game. Phrasing. I know it's been in the past. Like Overwatch was won it last year, maybe, or 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, though? Because Apex Legends was on there, and that game's been out for like a year.
It means it just continuously gets updated and more content's added and stuff like that.
Yeah, they made that specifically for Fortnite to win something. But anyway, I digress.
4 years, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what? Fortnite should have won that. I don't care for Fortnite, but good job, Fortnite.
Let's go, Epic Games, man.
All right. And then we got Sekiro. I've heard that Sekiro has a really really cool speed run. And there's a community around
it. And it won Game of the Year.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, it's either the RNG trick one or Sekiro. So, we're going
to
give...
As a person who knows nothing about Sekiro, I give it to Sekiro.
Let's give it to Sekiro. Best new speed game. Because this podcast hates Luigi's Mansion 3.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I just think it's kind of meh.
All right, we have one last award.
Oh, I thought that was it. God damn, here we go.
No, this is the ultimate award. That was the penultimate award. This one is fastest death in popularity of a speedrun.
Oh, boy.
The first one I wrote. But it's the ultimate award.
This is the biggest award you could possibly hope to achieve in the speedrun awards.
The nominees are... I will give the nominees and the reason for its death. Mario Odyssey, sub 1. Majora's Mask, debug menu, and Moon Warp. And the winner is...
It's only two things.
It's only two things. What other games died?
I expected more, not gonna lie.
Super Mario Sunshine.
Okay.
I can't really think of any other games. If you're willing to jump in. And
Super Mario Sunshine. They won't allow 2-file.
They won't allow 2-file? That's a good... All right. From the top.
Okay.
Mario Odyssey. Sub 1. Majora's Mask. Debug menu and Moon Warp. Super Mario Sunshine. Republican SMS players rejecting 2-file.
Oh man, this is a tough one.
And the winner is Majora's Mask with debug menu and Moon Warp.
Oh, I thought for sure you were going to say Odyssey as like a meme to just rag on them again. But no, I would agree that Majora's Mask wins that.
Majora's Mask is going to be very dead.
Moon Warp is super cool, and it's awesome that the community got together. Well, most of the glitch hunters figured it out, but props to them. They're really, really smart. However, I don't see the Any% run lasting much longer in terms of popularity.
And the Mario Odyssey thing, Trey and I kind of saw it coming when Sub 1 happened. It just kind of, like, there's still people playing it. I think it's down to a 59, what, 40 now, 20?
Isn't it 58 now?
Is it just 58? I thought it got improved by like 40.
Hey, hold on. Let me check the leaderboard.
Let's go check the leaderboards.
I know that that one like French guy, or no, that one Italian guy got a really, really sick run. That like, let me check. Loading. It's hard to load this page because there's so many players for it.
Mm.
It's loading. Okay, yeah so it was the... It was 58-47 by Tyron 18. But yeah, either way, I think that Odyssey is in like a really good spot. It's just sort of like a mildly active community. It's not like the super big hype train it was when it came out, which is fine. It's just that ever since Sub 1 happened, it wasn't nearly as like hype, I guess.
That was the goal of everybody. Like everybody was just gunning for Sub 1, and when Sub 1 happened, everybody just kind of went, okay, now it's done.
And now every future time sort of like an encore to that, you know?
Like, oh, yeah, he got better sub 1. But that guy that got sub 1, that guy that got sub 1 is going down in history as the guy that got sub 1.
It was Nycro Vita.
Mm-hmm.
He's Canadian, but yeah, so there you go.
So runner-up is Mario Odyssey, for sure. Definitely runner-up, but Majora's Mask.
And taking home the bronze is Mario Sunshine.
It got the... Majora's Mask got the coolest glitch... But also, you know what? There's a give and take.
With great glitches comes great responsibility?
Yeah, something like that.
That sounds right.
I think that's the quote. Yeah, that's the quote. So yeah, those are the speedrun awards that I put together for this year. Next year, you know what? If we're still doing the podcast next year, I will put a shit ton of effort.
You know what? I thought that it was a fantastic speedrun awards you put on. It was almost as good as the Game Awards. There weren't enough Magic the Gathering ads, though.
Yeah, Magic the... Dude, I should have just yelled Magic the Gathering.
Not quite that good, but maybe next year we'll get there.
Like, that's the coolest new skip. Magic the Gathering! And our next award.
We didn't get Green Day either. Damn shame.
Dude, we just needed Green Day, and then it's just a better award ceremony. And then they just randomly flip off the camera. You know?
They had time for Green Day, but they couldn't even announce a new Smash character.
And they had Doug Bowser and Reggie Fils-Aimé. Like, come on.
Too much power in one building, honestly.
Like, people were thinking that during what we were referring to as the bullshit show at the start.
the first 30 minutes.
When Doug Bowser came up to get the award for best fighting game for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, I'm just going to skate by that. When Doug Bowser came up, people were just like, oh, like he's going to announce the new Smash game now. It's like, it's the bullshit show.
Yeah, they're not going to ask him the bullshit show. Come on.
And I don't know. Maybe it won't happen. And then it didn't happen.
Oh, you were talking about how Reggie delivered kind of a like stereotypical speech, I guess.
Yeah, atypical.
Atypical speech, sorry. I would say Doug Bowser gave an even more typical speech. It was just the usual, Smash is more than a fighting game. It brings people together kind of thing.
It really does.
That was even really more just paint by numbers.
Yeah, but he was accepting an award. He wasn't paid to be, you know what? There's a scenario where he doesn't even get that award. You know, a fighting game gets that award, you know, instead of a party game.
Yeah, a real fighting game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I feel like, doesn't every nominee at least sort of prepare something in case they win?
I don't know. You know what?
Like, if you're projected to win, you'd prepare like maybe a little something and then be like, okay.
How much better do you want an award speech to be?
I expect Bowser from Doug Bowser. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He should have been more evil about it. You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
So those are our game awards. Woo.
Good shit. In other news, with me in recent history, mm-hmm. I ordered and I received and set up a new CRT. Although, you know, the CRT isn't so new. It's from the 90s, but it's new to me owning it.
Yes.
And it's pretty nice. I actually ordered a GV USB 2 capture card with S-Video capability. Better than composite, I would say. I set up, the capture card on OBS. At first, it was having weird audio issues and being all glitchy and stuff, but then I switched USB ports and it was fine for now. We'll see if that keeps up. And the CRT itself, I got it off eBay for couple hundo bucks, but it's a really nice, really mint condition CRT. It's like it's a JVC, how do you pronounce it? It's like I apostrophe art, yart?
Yart.
JVC yart, 14 inch. It's like a flat screen with S-Video and component capability. It looks really good and it works through OBS. So, you know, previously when I would stream GameCube games like Mario Sunshine and whatnot, I would do it on an HD monitor, which has like the input lag is not the problem. It has like maybe at most 5 milliseconds, which is less than a frame. It's like nothing. But the main reason I got this setup is because on my monitor, since I use the Elgato HD60S capture card, which is purely for HD stuff, when I would play on it, I would use a Wii to HDMI with HDMI setup. That capture card doesn't allow for recording interlaced footage. And some GameCube games don't have progressive scan allowed on them, such as Pac-Man World 2. So for a while there, I couldn't even play Pac-Man World 2 if I wanted to. But on the CRT, I can play whatever the hell I want on the GameCube. So I'm good to go now. That's what I'm saying.
How much Sunshine are you going to be streaming with that?
I don't know. See, I've been kind of... Every time I think about, oh, what if I stream Sunshine? I'm just like... I'd rather play Fire Emblem.
You gotta get that out of your head. You gotta get that out of your brain.
It's like a poison.
I sometimes sit there and go like, you know what? I could play other games, and then I just play Sunshine.
I've never felt the demotivation for this game more than at this present moment, sadly. However, it's been leading to, like, you know, doing some other stuff, such as relearning Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which we've both been doing to some extent.
Definitely Trey more than me, but yes.
Yeah, I've been trying to relearn the whole route, or actually learn the official current world record route the best I can.
Yep. I still have not opened the world record video for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, so I'm just kind of hanging out, doing Nero skip.
Yeah, I mean, for your first playthrough, you can kind of just go through it, you know, get a grasp of the mechanics again, and then go through it at some point.
I will say that I'm still, even though I have not practiced the world record or anything like that, I'm still way better at the combat than Trey is. That's all I can say comfortably.
Yeah, I struggled to get the gold medal on my, like, the VR training kill streak things.
Yeah.
So the way the combat works in the game, you press X, like, certain times to either counter or just attack someone, you know, for, like, a... What's the thing where, like, you point to someone, then, like, press X? It's like a kill rally thing going on.
You have to hold X through the kill to follow up with, like, a dagger throw or a gunshot.
Yeah, yeah, there's stuff like that. And what I was doing previously was I was just, like, mashing X and, like, praying. But it turns out you gotta be, like, somewhat methodical with your X pressing and holding. So I've gotten better at it now, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not like an action movie where they come one at a time. Sometimes they try to screw you, but...
And the thing is, I knew about countering. It's like, oh, I see him attacking me, I'm going to counter him. But what I would do is I would hold the right trigger, and I would just, like, mash X in his direction.
No,
and so it turns out you got to just press X, you know, finesse the X button when you need to, and then it works. So I'm figuring that out. I'm pretty good at the movement, but the combat leaves a lot to be desired, but I'm working on it.
You know what? The movement and the combat are very similar. And I'm surprised that you had trouble.
I don't know. I didn't think that there was this 200 IQ level thought put into the combat. I thought it was just like mash and win, but I guess not.
You know what? A lot of people have the opposite opinion about the Assassin's Creed combat. Like, it's really dumb.
They think it's really, 500 IQ. That's what they think.
Yeah, that's what they think.
I just wasn't ready for it. My pea brain. But anyway, yeah, I got a CRT. If I get back into Sunshine or my other GameCube speed games, I'll be using that. It'll make the quality on my stream a little less crisp. It won't be HD anymore. It'll feel more authentic though, right? It'll feel more like, okay, this is a GameCube game. It's SD quality. More authentic. Also, no input delay. Boom. There you go.
Whoa.
Always good.
I think I have like 1 millisecond of delay.
Yeah, I gotta commend I love eBay because when you order from somewhere, you can see like the user overall stats, like they have this many likes, this many dislikes. If you order something from someone with 300 positives and like one negative, chances are it's gonna be a good deal there, and that's the deal I made with the CRT. It showed up in like 3 days. It was perfect. On the other hand, are you doing any Christmas shopping at the moment?
Yes.
Well, as far as Christmas shopping, I have this idea for my brother that I also got for myself. It's this thing I saw actually advertised in a YouTube video called Wave Lights. And it's essentially just like this strip of lights you can put along your ceiling or something. And you can like remote control, change the colors, and it looks really dope. I'm like, oh, that's super dope. I want to get that. And also get it as a present for my brother because I think he would like that. However, I ordered it, I believe, on November 28th. And they said... All right, it's going to show up in, 8 to 12 days, give or take.
Okay.
It is over 2 weeks since I ordered, and I checked the tracking on it so far, and it says they're still working on it.
Oh, it hasn't arrived.
No, it has not arrived. I think they haven't even shipped it yet, as a matter of fact.
A lot of those cases that I run into where people have their stuff lost in whatever translation with the companies... It's just like, oh, it arrived 2 days ago. It's like, no.
See, that's my biggest fear is if that happens. Thankfully, that hasn't happened yet because that means it got stolen or something. But it still says they're working on it, even though it should have arrived by now. This is why I love Amazon so much. You know, we be like, oh, Amazon, such a greedy company, fuck them. But they're so convenient and they actually give you your shit, so I'm going to keep using it.
Dude, I just ordered a 1080p camera so that I could stream art to people.
Yeah, I saw it. It looked pretty nice, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a very good camera. You know how many days it came in?
Two.
Came in 2 days.
Prime, baby.
It was here.
I'm telling you, man, nope. When you order off these other websites, it's a wild card. Like, maybe it'll never show up, and maybe I won't have a present for my brother, and he's going to kill me.
The other time that I used something other than Amazon, I actually ordered from Nintendo for the SNES controller that I've talked about a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Came in, they said, what did it say, four to 10 days or something like that. And I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. I don't super need it. Came in 3 days, which is like dope.
Yeah, that can happen too. Awesome. But these wave lights, I'm telling you, if I don't have it before Christmas, bro, I'm a riot in the street.
Are you going to tie them to your computer and have them activate for sub?
No, it's more like a bigger scale thing. Like it's like a Christmas light type scale. They can like go along your ceiling and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know how flexible they are or anything. I just saw them like advertised in a video and I was like, that looks dope. I'm gonna get it.
Where are you gonna put them?
Along my ceiling. I don't fucking know.
Oh, okay.
And then you know what I could do is like have it set up to where like my remote changes it when I get a sub or something. And like my whole room changes color.
That'd be dope.
That'd be some high tech stuff. If they show up, but we'll wait and see on that.
They will never show up. Or,
don't say that. Don't say that. It might actually not show up, but don't say that.
It'll show up. I have faith.
All right. If it doesn't show up in like the next week, I'll contact their website and be like, yo, what the hell's going on? My brother needs these lights and I need them too.
All right.
So there's that.
Trey. Did you want to talk about Fire Emblem?
Yeah, I did. Was there anything else? Because I sort of had a spiel. Do you have any spiels?
I don't really... see, I have spiels that can go on whatever, but last week we promised a Fire Emblem conversation. We can go into the two questions that I've had from people really quickly, and then you can talk about Fire Emblem if you want to do that.
Oh, is it like questions we had about the podcast?
Yes.
In that case, I have a third one I want to touch on for like 2 seconds. Someone asked, because we referenced how, like I was saying, I've streamed from many places. I've streamed from a closet. I've streamed from a jail. Remember that?
That's one of the things that I wrote down.
Oh.
No. Because you told me to write it down in my memo notes so that I could remember it this week.
I wasn't sure that was one of them. Well, you can talk about it now.
We could talk about the jail cell. I wrote in my memo notes, in all caps, jail cell.
Okay, well, this is more pertinent to me, so I'll touch on it really quick. No, I was not. I have not ever gone to jail, nor did I stream from jail. But I got many comments. That particular year, I was in my dorm room. That my dorm room looked like a jail cell because I don't have any posters and shit on it. So, yeah, there you go.
No posters. That was question number one. Question number two
answered.
Was actually given to me during my stream the last night. I think it was last night. I did a 96 Shine stream and somebody came in and was just like, oh, you're the other guy from the podcast. And I went, yes, that's me. I'm the other guy. And his question was, and I kind of acknowledged it on stream last night. We, a few weeks ago, acknowledged the Shroud transfer to Mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted us to have like a follow-up.
Okay.
Or like what kind of things have changed towards Twitch and towards Mixer and the power struggle that might exist, kind of a thing. And I sat there kind of like, I don't really have much of an opinion, but I've looked into it since last night.
All I know is that Shroud doesn't get quite the viewership he did when he first moved to Mixer.
Same with Ninja.
But, I mean, it could just be that they're not playing certain games. Possibly.
I don't know about that.
Because they're playing games that aren't just like Call of Duty or Fortnite or Apex Legends all the time.
Have you heard that Twitch is actually signing people to contracts now?
Wait, what was that again?
Twitch is signing people to contracts for streaming.
Oh, like they weren't doing that before? This is like a new thing?
No, in response to this, it seems.
Oh.
So in order to keep people from going to other platforms, they're actually having people signed to contracts. So Lyric actually signed a contract for however much.
So
Tim
Lyric,
the Tatman.
Oh, so Twitch, in response to Mixer paying off these people, Twitch is paying back.
Yeah, they're usurping their own content creators.
You see, I knew all that bit money would go towards something.
So Tim the Tapman is also one of these people. Lyric has been signed to a
Twitch, give me a quick $10,000. I will never move, I swear.
I know there's a third one. I just don't know who it is.
I'm sure there's more than we even realize. Like, I'm sure there's a number of people like that.
But this is exactly what I was talking about the first time we were talking about Mixer, where it was just like, I wonder what Twitch will do in response, and I'm glad that they're doing something.
Yeah, who knows where they'd be if they just sort of ignored this whole thing.
Because the rumor was, apparently Ninja was looking for, like, before he even signed with Mixer, Ninja was looking towards Twitch for some sort of contract to stream exclusively on Twitch, and Twitch was not looking for it. Like, they weren't down for it. And then he announced the Mixer thing, and then Twitch went, oh. So there's actually this rumor going around that Ninja kind of sacrificed what huge following he had here on Twitch, because Trey and I are...
We're here. Even though I haven't streamed in a month, we're here.
Yeah, we're active participators somewhat in Twitch. And he sacrificed what viewership he had on Twitch with Mixer so that he could get his FPS buddies, quotes, or in quote, big contracts on Twitch.
Okay.
It's an interesting theory. It probably doesn't hold any weight, but
I feel like that's giving Ninja way too much credit.
Yeah.
That's some next level hindsight that would actually work.
So that's an interesting follow up to the Mixer stuff.
I thought you were just gonna say Ninja sold his following because he likes money.
No.
But yeah. Not that he wasn't making any money in the first place, but you know.
But I'm just glad that Twitch is responding somehow. Because I could totally see a reality where Twitch just kind of does nothing.
Yeah, like sort of shake it off. Like, yeah, they'll never move to Mixer. But this sort of proves they're actually kind of scared of it. So,
Or just maybe not even scared, just preventative measures are nice. And being able to secure your top content creators, why not?
Yeah, and I guess it's not just Mixer. It's also Facebook Gaming.
Yeah, there's a lot of snipers out there. Like Zero went to Facebook. Was it Facebook recently?
Yeah. Zero also the Mexican Runner as well.
Yeah, there's just a lot of platforms that are because there is like I was saying a reality where Twitch doesn't do anything. But like I could totally see Twitch just being, oh, if you want to get big in streaming and on any platform, you have to start on Twitch. Like start here, you'll get bought out sometime. We don't really care. Like, I could definitely see that.
Honestly, that's kind of true to some extent, but they're actually taking measures, so.
That's nice.
Interesting maneuver.
That's our follow-up to the Mixer thing, and I'm glad that you asked the question. It was Belvo, I think that was his name, Belvo, something like that.
And I can't remember who asked the jail thing. It was a few weeks ago, but we got you covered, buddy.
We got you covered, too, bro.
I didn't actually go to jail. That's the key takeaway from that. So, with those questions out of the way, let's talk about Fire Emblem, everyone's favorite game.
Love Fire Emblem.
So, a couple weeks ago, I beat Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, which is on the GameCube. I was looking around, like, researching on YouTube a bit, because I wanted to get into more Fire Emblem games than just Three Houses, and I was curious, you know, which would be a good one to start with. And I heard that Path of Radiance is one of the easier ones, and easier to get into if you're a total noob like me. And after my playthrough, I'd have to agree. I actually played it on hard mode. I know, I'm a badass.
Whoa.
Watch out. I did my first playthrough on hard mode, and as a whole, it was not all that difficult. I think I only like had to restart chapters maybe a handful of times to save units I might have lost. But, you know, difficulty was super fair. I had a pretty fun time doing it. It had a pretty good story, fun characters to follow. I had to get used to actually reading dialogue versus, you know, listening to voice acting, which took a little more effort, but reading's always good for the brain, I suppose. But there is one particular story of a very sad thing that happened to me in this game that I want to cover today. So basically, the way I played the game, because it cost a bazillion dollars on Amazon for whatever reason, even used, I think it's like $100 used or something, I don't really remember, I actually played it Don't sue me for this, but I played it via ISO on Nintendo.
No.
I know, I'm really killing the video game business here. But yes, I played an emulated version of it on Nintendo, which basically allowed me to play it on my console, and it feels like it's actually like the console version on my TV or my monitor versus just Dolphin. So it felt pretty authentic, despite me not paying for the game. I know, kill me, whatever. But this turned out to be kind of a drawback that I didn't expect, because something happened to me. I was playing the third to last chapter. It was super, like, pretty late game stuff here. So obviously, the chapters are quite a bit more involved. They take a while, maybe like 40, 50 minutes to get through. Much more strategy involved, whatever. At the end of this particular chapter, and I am going to spoil some stuff, it's a 10, 15-year-old game, so whatever, get over it. basically, the final boss of this chapter, you actually face off with this antagonist that you see throughout the whole game as like a recurring antagonist, who actually kills your father in the beginning of the game, called the Black Knight. Actually, the Black Knight's kind of similar to the Death Knight, except more threatening than the Death Knight. But yeah, you actually face him, because you're strong enough at this point, you face him 1v1 in this epic duel after the chapter, the main portion's over. However, before doing this 1v1 fight, this epic boss fight, there's this cutscene that plays where it's like, oh no, Ike, because you're the main character is Ike, by the way. Ike from Brawl, Ike. We all know.
Yeah, Ike from Brawl.
That's the game you first appeared in. they're like, no, Ike, what are you doing? Don't go in there. He'll kill you. And someone else is like, no, he must do this. He must face his demons, yada, yada, whatever. So, you know, you go into the room to face him. It fades to black. And the first time I played this, it faded to black. I waited.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And the game crashed.
No.
And the funny thing is, this happened to me before, because in an earlier chapter, when I was loading the chapter, the game crashed. I didn't think much of it. I was like, okay, I'll just reload it again, whatever. But this was at the very end of a chapter that took me about 50 minutes to get through, and it crashed before the final boss. So, had to play through the whole thing again.
Nice.
And that's not it. That's not that. We're just getting started, folks. I played through the whole thing again. I get to that cutscene. Pray it doesn't crash again. It loads, thank God.
Good.
And I'm fighting the Black Knight. I'm like, okay, let's fucking do this. I'm going to beat this guy. I have no idea what to expect. This is my blind playthrough. And so, turns out, I was ill-prepared for this fight. However, it's an optional boss fight where you can choose to run away if you want and not get the best ending. You can get a still good ending, but not the best ending for killing him. I couldn't get the best ending, sadly, but it was my first playthrough, so whatever. But I'm fighting him just to like see if I can maybe eventually beat him, but it was pretty clear he was going to win. So, but also a thought crossed my mind, like, oh, this seems really, really hard. What if you're not supposed to win and he kills you and like some scripted cutscene happens? Like, oh, maybe it'll like go to a cutscene and then be like, oh no, Ike, don't do that. But no, he just kills you. Yeah. And third time going through the chapter.
Yay!
So we're going again. All right, I go through it again. 30 minutes later, I get really good at this chapter. I know every in and out of it by now.
Dude, you're speedrunning the chapter now.
I'm speedrunning this chapter at this point. I'm so good at it. I know exactly where to put everyone. I get there again. Game crashes another time.
Oh.
I shit you not. This is what I get for playing an emulator. Montezuma's Revenge of emulators, I guess. I get diarrhea, whatever. And then I go through a fourth time. It doesn't crash, thank the Lord. I was about to punch my wall if it crashed again. So I get to the Black Knight. I opt to just run away, not get the good ending. Finally got through that chapter, but oh man, I spent 2 hours longer than I should have just to not get the good ending, and that left a bad taste in my mouth, but whatever. That's my story. That wasn't fun.
That's a great story. That's a great story.
But yeah, apart from that, I had a good time with the game.
I'm glad. I'm glad you did.
That was rough.
Yeah, dude, I can't remember any game where I've had that kind of issue. I've never had like crashing issues. Then again, you were playing on ISO.
And thankfully, if I ever do a second playthrough, I know exactly how to defeat the Black Knight because you have to like equip an ability to Ike called Aether, which is why I think in Brawl he's like Aether with his up B, you know? It's a reference to that.
Yeah.
It's a really
yeah.
fucking broken ability that like in late game can just one shot any enemy in the game, literally. But that being said, the reason I couldn't beat him the first time is the game intends you to level up Ike as powerfully as possible, but I wasn't aware of this. It was my first playthrough. My approach to Fire Emblem, and it's probably not the best strategy, as I'm slowly realizing, I take a very communistic approach, if you get what I mean. I like to give all my units as equal utility as possible, right?
Okay.
Like, I like to, you know, make sure every unit isn't falling behind, make sure they're all, like, I can use them equally as much. Because, like, what's the point if you have, like, two units and one is just, like, a stronger version of the other one, why would you use the weaker one, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I like to do that. So I was like, oh, well, my Ike's not at the highest level he can be, so I guess I can't win this. Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, bad taste in your mouth at the end of games? Like, Luigi's Mansion 3 kind of did that for me, the most recent game.
Oh, that especially with King Boo, yeah.
Yeah, I nothing crashed or anything, but King Boo was bullshit. I don't know. The only thing I can really think of for games putting bad taste in my mouth at the end of it is like really insanely hard boss fights for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So Luigi's Mansion 3, like it's not insanely hard, but it's dumb. And God of War. God of War, I actually broke.
Oh, you mean God?
Yeah, I mean I mean the OG God.
The OG God game?
Yeah. For the remastered version on the PS3, I actually broke my PS3 controller, but luckily I already had a second one.
Dude, I was this close to breaking my controller when it crashed again, let me tell you.
I have never broken a controller since, but I did throw it on the floor. It wasn't really, like, I didn't throw it across the room into the wall or anything. I tossed it on the floor, and the R button got, like, impacted into the controller.
Damn,
so,
what a weak controller, like, dude. The GameCube one would never break like that.
The R button just kind of like got stuck and I couldn't press it anymore. So, So I guess just the R button was broken, but it just made the controller useless. But yeah, those are the only two games that I can really think of that put a horrible taste in my mouth at the end of it.
Yeah, and thankfully it was the third to last chapter. The final boss was actually kind of cool. I died to it a couple times because it was actually like surprisingly hard, but it was satisfying to get through because you actually have to sort of utilize the environments and your surroundings to get through it. And it was pretty fun. Ended on a good note, so that's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, like Luigi's Mansion 3 ended on a good note.
Yeah. Well, the cutscene was good. I don't know about the actual boss fight, but yeah.
Yeah, they got in the bus, and then they fell asleep. Yeah, I like that part, when they fall asleep on the bus.
But anyway, to conclude this Fire Emblem segment, I'm now playing through... I did a little more research, actually. I'm playing through FE7, which was actually the second GBA Fire Emblem. The first GBA one, which was FE6, was the last one to only get a release in Japan. And that's the one with Roy in it and stuff. But I'm playing FE7, which is the Blazing Blade. And I can tell you, they weren't wrong about Path of Radiance being one of the easier ones, because I'm in like chapter 20 or so in this FE7 game. It is fucking hard. I'm playing hard mode again because I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking sick. I can do hard mode. It is... The game started off extremely easy, but let me tell you, it's kicking my ass right now.
Is that the same game? I don't know if you...
It's the one with Hector, the guy with the axe.
It's the guy with the axe. Is that the one with... You were talking about off-podcast. In Japan, there's a game with normal and hard mode versus easy and normal?
Oh, no, that's Path of Radiance.
Okay.
Path of Radiance, for some reason, in English, they have easy, normal, and hard. And in Japan, they have normal, hard, and maniac.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
But yeah. FE7, the beginning lulled me into a sense of security. But now the chapters are getting pretty damn hard. But I'm pushing onward. See if I can beat it.
You're a gamer.
I'm a gamer. Video games are hard, but you know what? You got to overcome it.
Yeah, we just got to play really difficult games. That's why we need to play all the Dark Souls and Demon Souls. And when
Dark
you get
Souls
your...
are like the definition of hard video games on the internet. Like they meme on it. Like it's so synonymous with hard video game.
And because we host the podcast Video Games Are Hard, we should play the hardest video games, right?
Exactly.
I guess.
Eventually, yeah, whenever we get around to it.
When you play your PlayStation, when you get your PlayStation 5, you can get Bloodborne.
Yeah, yeah. Or
that's hype.
I'm pretty hyped for the PS5. I feel like I'm coming to realize over the years, PlayStation got some solid games.
It's the place to play, as they say.
I should have listened to Chad Warden all along. He knew what he was talking about.
Yeah,
with the PS triple.
But also, I did watch the Game Awards, and I hear that the Switch got games.
This just in. Nintendo Switch has games.
Yes, I've heard that as well. Magic the Gathering exists.
Oh, wait. Is Magic the Gathering, is that like that one card game?
Yes, but they also have other things that they advertise at the Game Awards that I didn't really pay attention to.
I think it's a card game, but I'm not entirely sure. I needed to see another advertisement.
Yes.
To really solidify that thought I'm having. Anyway.
So to wrap up this podcast, I have to go look after a dog because he seems to be barking.
This was a short podcast. I think it was a shorty but a goodie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
We did the Speedrun Awards. So to wrap it up, you can listen to us on Google Play and Spotify. Trey wants me to say that because I keep forgetting to do that during my wrap-ups. And then he just interjects it at the end. Anyway, Google Play and Spotify, we're also there. Average Trey VG, this is on YouTube. This is where we're broadcasting this podcast. And I've been Sid.
I've been Trey.
And Magic the Gathering to you all.